Today's podcast is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. It's a brand new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts by making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. Unfortunately, there's no Sinbad-like genie that will just appear and be able to find you the top candidates for your position. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. Now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. That means no more juggling emails or calls to your office. Forget about all that. Quickly screen the candidates, then rate them. Hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/first. That's ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time, you could try it for free when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. I'm Rob Cesternino, and today we're talking about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017, here live on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF.
Baseline.
If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF.
That's
factual,
right.
Factual news.
Yes, we're back again for the first time in 2017 here this morning to talk about another week and another year of very interesting stories. All actual factual, kicked out here by all of the news sources. We vetted everything. No fake news. We've kicked everything that's actual craptual to the curb, and we're back once again to talk to myself and two guys who love playing with drones. First, Tyson Apostle.
Yes, that's me.
Who has a very fancy drone of his own. Tyson, how are you?
I'm good, but if you remember the sad, sad story of 2016, my drone got recalled and I had to return it.
Yes, is it back yet?
No, I have money in my account.
Oh, but you're getting a new drone.
I don't know. Okay. So they took the drone away from me.
Because they were falling out of the sky.
Because they're falling out of the sky. And they refunded my money and gave me a free camera.
Yes. Okay.
So I wish I would have bought 100,000 of those.
All right. And the man.
Imagine the camera.
Who is working on acquiring a second drone. Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Oh, happy next year, whatever, 2017. Going to be exciting. Got another drone coming my way. I'm probably just going to torment Tyson by flying my drones from my house over to his house and just having them hover outside his window.
Well, could you do just like over his house, like nonstop? I bet that would really piss him off.
Well, with two of them, I can just, when one dies or the battery's getting low, I can fly the other one out. So it's just continual and then charging batteries all the time.
Yeah. Yes. Bzz, 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 bzz. Good idea.
Tyson, did you follow through on your plans to be in bed as early as possible on New Year's Eve?
No. Rachel invited people over.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, but we missed the New Year's because we were just too busy hanging out.
Oh, you didn't even realize it.
Yeah, so it went past midnight and people were like, champagne. And I was like, yeah, who cares? It's the same.
Why? What were you so busy doing? Putting together a puzzle?
Probably. No, we were just, socializing as socialites are wont to do.
Wow. A good puzzle is preferable to celebrating the new year.
Danny, mm-hmm. What did you do?
I went to bed.
You went to bed?
I wasn't even going to pretend that I was excited about the new year, as if something magical happens at midnight. Everybody turns into a pumpkin or something. Nope, another day starts just like the one previous. It's not as if all of a sudden everything's washed away and everything's been born again in the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Born anew.
Yeah.
Born anew.
Not really.
Out with the old. Out with the old, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife and your kids, Danny, they're all on board with this, or you just make them all go to bed early too?
No, I don't know what my wife did. I was, it's her birthday. New Year's Eve is her birthday.
It's her birthday.
You were in Grand Tetons National Park.
Yeah. and I went to bed.
Were you staying at a hotel?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I took my wife because every year her birthday is the worst birthday in the world.
Yeah.
Everywhere's booked. Nobody wants to have a party with you. And if you try to do it before, everyone's partied out because of Christmas Day and they're getting ready for New Year's Eve.
Right.
And so I decided this year to take her to Jackson Hole. And as I said on my Instagram post, I've done so little in the past that by just doing this much, I came across as being the greatest husband ever.
Yeah.
Is that the worst birthday, Tyson? New Year's Eve?
No, I think Christmas Day would probably be worse.
Like Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say it's in the top five worst days to have a birthday.
Top five?
Yeah.
I guess I'd buy it. Is New Year's Day worse, Danny? I feel like that would be harder to get people to go out.
Yeah, no one's going to want to go to your party. But the thing is, I guess you couldn't get any reservations because everything's closed. So yeah. That would suck too.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. If people have a worse pick for a birthday, let us know. But we've got to get into all of these big news stories. Of course, if you're joining us here for the first time, if that was your resolution to start watching more podcasts as we do them live or in the archives, you can go ahead and send us your news stories all week long. tips@newsaf.news. That's our email address. Or in our Facebook group, Group AF. Search for it on Facebook. You can go ahead and post your stories all week long. And then our amazing News AF intern, Lita, compiles them. And here we are each week to talk about them. And the top story, the story that everybody's talking about, is the curious case of a seemingly vanishing movie from the 1990s starring Sinbad called Shazam. And Tyson, a lot of people seem to remember that this was a thing. And yeah, according to the Google, this did not exist, Tyson.
It's a really tricky story because if you were to come to me and say, hey, do you remember that movie in the 90s called Shazam starring Sinbad? I would be like, yeah, I think I vaguely remember that. And they're like, don't confuse it with Kazam. And I'm like, no, the one with Shaq. Yeah, I'm not confusing that. These are different movies. I can see myself going there.
Yes.
And how about you?
I feel like I remember this also, that there was a movie, Sinbad was a genie.
Yeah, dude.
Danny, do you remember this?
This is the thing. I mixed it up with the movie with Shaq.
Right? Kazam.
Didn't see Kazam, but I thought it sounded like the movie with Shaq. If everybody remembers this movie existing, maybe we should crowdsource the script from what people think they remember about it and make the movie. It could be the greatest movie of all time.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, I like it.
Again, everybody remembers there was the movie with Shaq called Kazam, but I felt like that this was one of those things where you said, really? Another genie movie? That just like there were two movies with the Earth getting struck by asteroids in the 90s. That there was, what were those called? That one was the Armageddon, and then what, Deep Impact was the other one, right?
Oh, good. Good thing you knew, because if you would have referred to me, I would have been like,
I was worried you weren't going to get both of those.
Was one of them called Shazam?
Yes. There are two movies that come out that are dealing with the same subject matter in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, all the time. That always happens.
Yes.
Deep Impact. I love that title.
And more than anything,
that could be the title of any kind of movie.
Yeah. I feel like I have a very strong visual in my head of Sinbad wearing the genie outfit. I feel like that even more so than the movie.
So what was Sinbad in? What was the movie?
Well,
He claims he wasn't in Shazam. He was in some movies.
What was the movie? Was he in a movie where he was dressed like a pirate or a genie or something like that?
So, that he was never in anything that he...
Well, I've typed Sinbad in the Google bar, and the two top results are Sinbad movie, Sinbad IMDb, Sinbad the Sailor.
Yes.
Sinbad the Sailor is not that
him,
Sinbad.
Him, though. It's not him. It's just a movie about Sinbad.
Yeah. All right. So Sinbad was in a lot of kids movies in the 90s, including Jingle All the Way. He was also in First Kid as well,
which was another popular 90s kids movie.
He was in quite a bit. He's got an extensive IMDb page.
Good Burger.
Yeah, quite the resume. Sure.
He really got his big break in A Different World, which was the Cosby Show spinoff.
Uh-oh. Did he 90s. Have any encounters with Cosby, or that was...
I'm sure he had some encounters with Cosby. Is that what happened? That's why we all don't remember what happened, Tyson?
We were all roofied?
We were all collectively Cosby'd? Like, I feel like it's a very fuzzy, the details.
Yeah, it's vague.
I remember,
it's definitely vague.
Yeah, I was
and
in
Bill
the movie
Cosby
theater.
Bill Cosby was there, and yeah. We were watching it.
And I got a soda.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember what happened.
The only movie I recognize of Sinbad's is Coneheads.
Wow. I forgot he was in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably his, that was the peak.
That was his most recent film?
Right.
No, that was in the 90s. The only one from the 90s I remember.
Yeah. That was also my joke.
So this is a big phenomenon where it seems like that there are thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people, that seemingly remember
millions.
That this was a thing. Sinbad in a movie called Shazam playing a genie, yet that there is no record of this movie existing. Sinbad says he was never in a movie where he played a genie. Now, there is a photo that has surfaced, and you can see it's on the screen behind me here.
Yeah.
Now, Sinbad supposedly has stumbled upon a photo where he was on TNT in 1994, and he hosted like interstitials of airing of the movie Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. And that's where Sinbad claims that this smoking gun of him in a genie outfit picture is coming from, that he hosted one day of a special of him introducing Sinbad Eye of the Tiger. Danny, that seems very implausible to me that so many people would remember this one day from 1994. Who was sitting there watching Sinbad Eye of the Tiger on TNT? They didn't even know drama yet.
Humans have notoriously poor memories. So I think that this is just proves it. This was a free research paper. We got a huge number of participants, and all we discovered is that people don't have great memories.
No. This is a conspiracy, and Sinbad is on the comeback. He's going to make Shazam Part 2. They've erased Shazam Part 1 from anywhere. And they're going to release him as a double feature in the film because people will be like, in the movies, because they'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember Shazam did exist. We'll watch that one. And then that will lead straight into the sequel. Or maybe it'll be a prequel. We don't know.
Do you think that Sinbad started a fake Twitter account and got the ball rolling on this controversy? Because how did this come up?
Well, there's few different theories, and that is certainly an interesting one. Is this some sort of Sinbad PR stunt where this movie did exist, and now Sinbad is basically gaslighting the collective consciousness and saying that, nope, that never happened. You guys are crazy, and there's no record of this, and somehow they were able to get rid of any record of this that this existed. And Sinbad is just telling us that we're crazy. That's certainly possible. And Sinbad, I think, probably hotter than ever due to this controversy.
Yeah, I haven't said the word Sinbad in 20 years, 30 years. I don't even know. So congratulations to him.
Yeah.
He's got his name on everybody's lips.
Everybody's talking about Sinbad right now. That's a possibility. Tyson, another possibility is that perhaps this is some sort of a glitch in the matrix, Tyson, that this movie existed in a parallel dimension and that there was some sort of crossover. and we are remembering something that existed but not in our universe or dimension, Tyson.
That could also be
one of the films from The Man in the High Tower.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. This is
the instead man of giving the us a pants. Vision of an alternate reality, he's giving us a vision of an alternate Sinbad
film.
Yes.
So if in that alternate reality, is that movie akin to our version of Kazam, where Sinbad is actually in real life an NBA player who ventures over to make a genie movie called Shazam? And Shaq is actually an actor in the movie Jingle All the Way.
I mean, Sinbad is a little rotund for the NBA, I would think.
But not the
so is Shaq right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess he does have sort of like a Charles Barkley type physique.
Body.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so you say he definitely could play in the NBA.
I guess he could potentially play in the NBA. I mean, I think I saw him at the Cheesecake Factory one time, but now I don't even know what's real.
Yeah, now I don't even know who or what
like,
or
I don't
if
even know if
Sinbad
that was
is.
Me at the Cheesecake Factory. I can't trust anything.
Do you know what this is? This
what?
Is another proof that we're living in the Matrix. Elon Musk is right.
Yeah. Well, that's a
we're living in a matrix, dude.
A point certainly in that favor of that this is all some sort of simulation. And that's why that there's like a mistake that's been made where we
little
remember
blurb.
Something that there's no record of.
Yeah, because we all watched it before we got plugged in.
Yeah, with two genie movies.
And then they plugged it in and when got plugged in, they for some reason forgot to put the one in the database. So when our memories revert back to it, now everyone's puzzled. This will blow over as soon as Trump tweets something stupid again on the weekend.
Well,
but
maybe he's the only person that can answer this. I do believe that there is some Trump Sinbad synergy as I believe Sinbad was a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice somewhere along the way. Although maybe I might be misremembering that
as well.
Yeah,
I think you're remembering that wrong.
Yeah. Sinbad is the distraction everybody wants.
Trump is probably learned whether or not a Shazam movie ever existed in any reality, or he would have if he goes to his briefing meetings.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
so
maybe we could get Trump to blow the lid off of this that we talked about, that maybe that at some point Trump could just start tweeting about the UFOs and explain that. But maybe that Trump could at some point after the inauguration, he could just come out and announce whether or not there was a Shazam movie.
Yeah, he's been to Area 51. He's seen the video files and there was, in fact, a Shazam movie.
Yeah,
I think that the movie is playing on loop in the lobby of Area 51.
He's got nothing else better going on.
Yeah. Now, another theory that's been floating around was that, yes, everybody has a vivid memory of Sinbad with the genie pants. But from 1991 to 1995, all anybody wore was genie pants.
That's true.
Yes, it was.
That's a good point.
Everybody was wearing genie pants. So that's why
I was wearing genie pants.
And this is the only time that Sinbad was really on TV. So that you just sort of have a real like, boy, that Sinbad really looks like a genie in those pants.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So you're saying our mind could be playing tricks on us.
Right. Like we could just as easily remember, hey, wasn't MC Hammer a genie?
No.
Didn't he do a lot of stuff as a genie, MC Hammer?
Nope.
No.
He bought this huge giant house made completely out of marble and then couldn't afford it.
Right. Also, I believe, Aladdin comes out in the early 90s, Danny, was between the genie pants, Aladdin, Kazam, Shazam. Was the first half of the 90s peak genie era?
It sounds like it was the time to be into genie magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're saying that in the 90s it was genies, now it's zombies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although in the 60s there was the I Dream of Genie, but it seems like for the male genie era, it seems like that the 90s was really where it was at. If you're a male genie now, you can't get any work. It's like,
imagine if you were a male genie in like the 70s.
God, you had to fight so hard, dude.
Then you got out of the game, the genie game.
Yeah.
Right as the 90s rolled around, I mean, you'd be kicking yourself.
Right. We
they
need
paved
a documentary
the way.
About the first genies from the 70s and the 80s, the male genies that paved the way for Aladdin to come along.
Yeah, they paved the way.
Yeah. Now, what scientists are saying about this, they're referring to this as this is another instance of the quote-unquote Mandela effect, where apparently people felt like Nelson Mandela had died in prison during the 80s, when in fact that was not the case. That did not happen, but everybody seemed to remember that he did. And when stuff like this happens, when everybody remembers something one way, even though that's not what happened, they call it the Mandela effect, Tyson. Have you ever heard of this?
I've never heard of the Mandela effect, but now I know what it is and I'm completely aware of it.
Yeah. So who knew that I didn't even, but I never heard of the Mandela effect.
It's like a collective memory where a whisper starts somewhere saying something happens, and the more it spreads, the more everybody believes it because more people believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing that that's how it works.
Like, it's the predecessor to fake news.
Yeah. But maybe we could start a whisper campaign about something that benefits us, like Rob was in the movie Terminator or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess when fake news takes hold and everybody just believes it and remembers something a certain way, that's called the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yeah. That's like when fake news has just taken hold and everybody believes something a certain way. That's the Mandela effect. Now, has Shaq said anything? I think that he probably is either...
Shaq is keeping silent, bro. Well, almost too silent.
He's staying, yeah.
Is he pissed? Out of the controversy. Or is he happy that the real, bad mark on his acting career, Kazam, has really been just like wiped away and attributed to Sinbad?
Is it a bad mark on his acting career, though? I feel like it was his only starring role.
I think it was the sum of his acting career.
Yeah, it was the entirety of his acting career, pretty much, Rob. He wasn't in Space Jam. He was too young for that.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, yeah.
Let's see.
Remember Space Jam?
Did that even happen? That was with Sinbad also?
Sinbad was in that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really tough for basketball stars to cross over, pun intended, to the movie world.
Yeah.
It seems like they don't do so great.
Yeah.
And what about Sean Bradley in Space Jam?
Yeah. Thank you for proving my point.
So Shaq went on to do a lot of TV following Kazam, but yeah, not a lot of other movies. Apparently, to go back to the News AF is all one big story, Shaquille O'Neal does have a role in Freddy Got Fingered.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does he get fingered?
I don't know.
You'll have to watch to find out.
Yeah. So this is a story that is developing more and more every single day of whether or not there was a Sinbad movie called Shazam. Sinbad himself is really, starting to get agitated about the whole thing.
Oh, he's pretending really? To get agitated, but yeah, he's just glad people are saying his name.
Are you kidding me? He's a trending topic on Twitter and he's mad?
Yeah. Sinbad, over 200,000 followers, and that he has a
and growing.
Comedy Central special available on DVD and for download.
Mm. Mm.
See, that's very suspicious. When somebody has a special or something that they're just releasing, then they manage to get in the news as well.
Now, I don't know if it's just released. He doesn't have
it. Was on DVD, so definitely not just released. Yeah.
It wasn't part of that DVD bootleg haul, the West Wing.
No, it was different. Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, and Sinbad on the January 1st that he has tweeted, it says, "Now for this game, Shazam, Sinbad genie movie. We done talking about that until you produce some footage. If so many saw it, there should be at least a VHS copy out there that you could play a short video for all of us. Smiley emoji." And I'm not talking about Photoshop VHS boxes. Play what is in the box.
Maybe Sinbad was in a genie-themed porno.
Oh.
But how did so many kids see it?
No, they just saw their parents watching it, when they came down to ask for some water.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, Sinbad adds, "But I will say this, ... I am about to get busy with some real projects, maybe even a Sinbad movie, so we can end this the right way."
The Sinbad genie porno writes itself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of rubbing and wishmaking. I mean, this story writes itself. This would probably be the greatest storyline ever in a porno.
Yes.
Okay. Get Sinbad on board if he hasn't already made that movie.
What's it called?
Well, we could just call it
Shazam.
Shazam!
Shazam! Can we have all our listeners tweet to Sinbad and tell him they loved him in the movie Shazam?
Yeah. When are they going to make a new one?
Yeah. When is Don't make any new projects. You peaked at Shazam, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny, I was thinking about this earlier over the break. I had a lot of time to think about things. So that when in 1997, they came out with the Star Wars Special Edition and they said, hey, it's 20 years after Star Wars came out. Time to go back and re-release Star Wars and add a bunch of new stuff. In 2019, it will be 20 years after the first of the Star Wars prequels came out. Is it time to do a special edition of the Star Wars prequels and go back and add a bunch of stuff to those movies, Danny?
Or remove a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, is that what they should do?
Yeah,
they should just cut Jar Jar Binks out.
Yeah, I was going to say they should probably burn an effigy of Jar Jar Binks that's like 100 feet high and then delete him from all scenes.
Do a special edition and then take everything out.
Yeah.
And then in like 40 or 50 years, people will be like, hey, do you guys remember Jar Jar Binks in the Star Wars movies?
Nobody remembered.
And everybody will be like, we all remember, but there's no, we can't find it anywhere. There's no footage of Jar Jar Binks.
No record of it.
Instead of a book burning, there'll be like a toy burning ceremony where all around the country, people bring their Jar Jar Binks toys and throw it on a pile and set it on fire. It'll be a collective forgetting. Instead of a fake memory, we all choose to forget.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the other stories that are going on right now. And so we have a couple of stories out of Japan this week. The best way to get 2017 started is with some Japanese news back here on News AF. And so in international bathroom news, bathrooms at the airport in Tokyo have become equipped with wipes for your smartphone to get rid of any sort of bacteria on your gadget in the bathroom. Danny, you are a notorious germaphobe. Are the Japanese once again paving the way that the rest of the world should follow in terms of smartphone cleanliness?
This is a great idea because science has proven that your phone, it's basically like holding a turd up to your ear. It's that dirty. So to provide the wipe, especially in an environment like the bathroom where you've just sat, wiped your butt and handled your phone at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. The Japanese are way ahead of us in robot and robosexuality and smartphone hygiene. They're just paving the way.
Okay. Well, so talk me through this, the order, Danny. In terms of, okay, so without getting, you know, graphic, right.
Yeah.
So you go to the bathroom, you do your business, people are handling their phone, and then, but there's a wipe for the phone, but is there a wipe for my hands also? How is the phone getting back in my pocket clean?
So this is the hardest part, right? So you do your business, a lot of people are on their phones while they do their business. Now, the problem is
maybe somebody's watching this.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, so they can learn. Now, the smart thing to do is have your phone in your pocket at all times, but that's unrealistic to ask of somebody.
Right.
So you're in, you're sitting down, you're going to the bathroom, you're wiping, you're touching your phone. Now you have to get the wipe. Don't use it yet. Right. Keep the wipe maybe hanging out of your other pocket. Go wash your hands, pick up the wipe, take the phone out with holding it with the wipe. Wipe off the phone with the wipe, then wipe off the inside of your pocket, and then put your phone in your pocket and wait till somebody opens the door and then run out before it closes.
Wait.
Yes.
That could be changed. If these are disinfectant wipes with moisture on them, you can use the whole roll to wash your hands inside the stall.
Or clean the entire stall beforehand with the wipes.
Yeah, you're going to do that. If these are like disinfectant wipes with like rubbing alcohol or something on them, you can use them to clean the whole toilet area before you sit down. Then you set your phone probably on top of the toilet paper roll holder as you wipe your hands down with some other of these moist wipes. Then you take the moist wipes, pick up your phone, wipe your phone with the moist wipes. Then on your way out, yank the roll and take the rest of the moist wipes to use them to handle all the handles on your way out and then just discard those on the ground in your wake.
I mean, that sounds very complicated.
Or here's another idea. Before you do anything, take the wipes off for the phone and put them in your pocket, one in each pocket. Then do your business And when you can't hold your phone, put it in your pocket, wash your hands, take the wipes, hold them, rinse out the inside of your pocket, and then use the wipes as a sort of glove to open the door or wait for someone to open the door and run out before it closes.
We talked a couple of weeks ago about how NASA was trying to develop a spacesuit which you could do your business in. If we could perfect the spacesuit that would allow you to be able to take care of nature's urges, that wouldn't that free us up that we wouldn't have to wash the smartphone as much, Tyson?
So you're saying we just wear these spacesuits even when we're not in space?
Precisely.
The interesting thing is the spacesuit does not come with any kind of mechanism that allows you to hold your phone while you do your business in the suit. Those gloves are very cumbersome. We should create some kind of holder, because the most important thing other than actually doing your business is reading your phone while you do that business.
Yeah. How about gloves that you wear in the bathroom?
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get those little toy grabbers that are like a foot or two long. Then when you pull the trigger, it clasps the claw. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to operate solely with those. I'm going to have one in each hand, and I'm never going to touch anything with my naked hands again.
I will film you if that's okay. We're doing this. This will be a great Instagram story.
So are those only for the bathroom, Tyson? Your claws?
Full time.
But Tyson, after you leave the bathroom, you have to throw them away and have a new pair every time you go.
Well, can't there be like a bucket of acid that I can dip it in on the way out or something?
Wouldn't that dissolve it?
Something that dissolves germs but not plastic.
Yeah.
Or maybe I could get some special made ones made out of metal or something. I feel like this is the future.
Can't they just make like a small room as you're leaving that you stand in, and it releases like gas and ultraviolet light?
Right, like at the Center for Disease Control.
Yeah, and then you hold your phone up and it does that, and then you just walk out.
Yeah.
I like that.
A microwave, like microwave you just enough to kill everything on you, but not enough to cook your innards.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I had to help my kid go to the bathroom, and everything was taken except for one of those little wall mounts, and he's too short to stand, so I have to hold him, right?
Yeah.
And then I have to hold his legs with my legs so he's aimed properly, but then I watched as the belt from his waist belt goes and slowly starts to brush the edge of the urinal.
Yeah.
And I made a mental note not to touch him the rest of the day.
Okay. And he just thought that you didn't love him.
Yeah.
Like, okay, mental note, he's contaminated.
That's a thing. That's tricky.
And then the whole time you're like, try to fall out of love with him. You still have two other children.
Kids don't seem to care. My other kid was in the stall. I mean, they'll put their jackets on the floor. We need a full body UV light gas thing, because a kid will touch everything in the bathroom stall. So it's not just enough to wash the hands. You actually have to do a full purge.
I think you just got to teach him to use the toy claws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's fun. That's like a toy for a kid anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that these wipes that you can clean your phone with, they double as advertisements that you could basically get like your company's message printed on these wipes. This seems like a good way to get the word out about stuff, Tyson.
This seems like a great way to get a bunch of accidental dick pics. Like everyone's on their phone touching stuff.
Or the poo pictures, which are not offensive, just hilarious.
Are they?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let me send you one, and then we'll get your reaction live. You have to have a caption like, can you believe this came out of me?
Yeah.
Anyways, I think what they could do is instead of advertisements on those, they could just print fake news stories, because then you wouldn't even need your phone in the moment right there. You could just read those down the whole roll, and then roll them back up for the next guy.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's like, you know those cloth hand wipes that just recirculate?
Yeah, and they say that somehow they're getting washed inside there.
Yeah.
They're not.
Okay, another Japanese story comes from a couple that had been married for over 20 years, despite not speaking to one another for the whole time. This was shown on Japanese television, a profile on this couple, where the woman still talks to the man, But the man had not spoken to his wife in 20 years. Danny, is this a recipe for a successful marriage?
Well, it seems to be.
Let the numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah.
20-year marriage, nothing said between them. I think that it's a great idea.
Well, three she children. Spoke to him. He just chose not to speak to her for 20 years.
Well, then she's winning, right? She can say whatever she wants for 20 years. That man is the toughest man in the world.
Yeah.
My wife can't say more than a sentence before I want to say something back to her.
Yeah. My wife wishes she married this guy.
Why? Did you hear why he went dark?
Yes.
20
oh,
years?
Yeah. Yes.
He was jealous of the kids.
Yeah, she was loving the kids more than him.
I get that a little bit. I do. Because sometimes I hear my wife, she's so nice to the kids. Like, she never says anything really mean to them. And I say, like, well, what about me? Why don't you ever say, you have so much patience for them?
Yeah, why don't you ever say, you're such a big boy, Rob. You can do this.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear once in a while.
Yeah.
Way to eat all your food, Rob.
Yeah.
You're such a big boy. Can I get
you
some
happy
juice,
to
Rob?
See them all the time. Yeah.
How long can you be quiet? Not talk to
and him. I'm much better behaved than they are also.
Yeah, you seem like you have it down.
I clean up after myself. Like, I really have my act together. You know, I don't require any sort of diaper change or anything gross like that.
Yeah, it seems like she should almost be nice to you and not to the kids.
If anything, right? Or sometimes they make her really cranky and then she's mean to me for no reason.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I get where this guy is coming from a little
There's
bit.
There's only one thing you can do, Rob.
Silent treatment, 20 years.
Yep, 20 years of silent treatment.
Then you'll get back TV, apparently.
She's not getting off that easy. Right, yeah. So he was sulking for 20 years. And, yeah, so he finally broke the silence on this show to tell her that he was jealous of all the attention and care the children got.
Do you think that's a Guinness Book of World Records right there? Longest sulk?
Yeah. Well, my understanding is that he only sulked around the wife. And around the kids, I got the understanding that he would converse normally. So she maybe heard him converse. She just could not converse directly with him.
Mm. Okay. So, yeah.
Like, could he tell the kids, could you tell your mom that the soup's too hot?
Yeah. I mean, or he'd just do more passive aggressive, just be like, oh, kids, this soup is too hot. I wish we had a better soup maker in the house.
Or she gives him the soup and he just dumps it on the floor.
Yeah.
No need to say anything.
Yeah. So hopefully they're back in a good place. Maybe because the kids are grown up now.
Yeah.
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 Most people just get divorced after their kids get grown up. He's now is going to start talking to her.
Well, maybe, you know, it's the second honeymoon now. For them. All right, so back to another Canadian heist. This time around, it's not food items that were getting stolen in the Great White North, but police in Canada have brought charges against a man who has been stealing ATM machines with a front-end loader. Danny, is this the work of a criminal mastermind, or was this a bad idea from the start?
At the very least, it's the work of a pretty good heavy machinery operator.
Okay, yeah. Well, in the story, I watched the video on this, that the guy who was, I guess, that either owned this or was responsible for the cleanup was really not happy about the whole situation, Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, why would you be? Any cleaning you have to do that's not your fault is annoying, to say the least.
Yeah.
Lots of glass, I assume.
This is the thing I don't understand. Okay, ATMs, I know that they're probably somehow connected to the wall, but it seems like they get stolen every now and then. Why not spend the $5 for a GPS chip and throw that in the machine?
Why not? I mean, that seems like a good idea.
Right? That's a no-brainer.
Yes. You want to low-jack the ATM.
I think that if there's that much money in it, why not take a little bit of that and put it into a GPS unit so that the dude, you know, you'd be led right to his house.
Yeah. But I don't think there's that much money in them.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know how much money is in it.
Well, according to the man interviewed in the story, he says that it really was a waste because there's only about $5,000 in the ATM machine, but he conservatively, there was $25,000, maybe $50,000 worth of damage that was done by driving the front end loader into the pawn shop, which housed the ATM.
Isn't that part of the fun, though?
Well, the big problem with this story was that a front end loader, while it is good for breaking in and stealing an ATM, it is a very bad getaway car because it moves extremely slow. And because the vehicle was chased down after 10 blocks of trying to get away with the ATM inside of it.
But these front end loaders are so big, what he needed to do was just go off road. Blaze his own path.
I always assume that part of the fun in breaking and entering is breaking.
Yes.
Not just entering. And so you get in there, you smash stuff, you take a poo in the kitchen sink. You take the valuables and you leave.
No, that's DNA, Danny. That's a bad idea.
He only got away with $5,000. Yeah, but he also got to break $25,000 worth of stuff, which everybody dreams of doing.
Yeah. Tyson, okay. How do you get the ATM open? Because from what I've seen on Breaking Bad, it looks like that's even another impossible task.
Yeah, I think it is. But I would assume with a front end loader, it's pretty doable.
Yeah. What do? You like drop it off a cliff?
Or just bring the bucket down on it super hard and smash it.
Would that work, Danny?
I have very limited experience in smashing ATMs with front end loaders. But I mean, it seems like it would. It's not a huge metal safe, is it?
No.
It's more of like a machine.
Work. It would work, Rob.
It would work? Okay. I know on Westworld, they like dropped the safe off of a second story balcony.
Yeah, but that's a safe. The difference between the safe and ATM is the ATM is meant to actually access the money and give it out to somebody. So there's points of weakness.
Where did the guy get the front end loader from?
He might own it.
It's his? He should sell
it. Maybe, yeah, and get some cash.
Yeah, that seems like a better plan to me.
Well, I think that, what's this picture? Edmonton police say this front-end loader. They have a picture of the front-end loader.
Yeah.
It's used. I heard that the way I read it is that he actually stole the front-end loader as well.
Oh, wow. This guy was on a real criminal mastermind spree.
Yeah, a real kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a terrible Christmas.
He just had to pay back for all the cheese and maple syrup.
Yeah.
Right, well, he got his kick.
Oh, yeah. Well, he could have been so you're saying that he led the heist on the maple syrup and the cheese, got caught, needed a way to post bail. He stole this front end loader, got cash.
Here's something interesting. They should look at the balloon guy, because if I remember correctly, his fine was $5,000.
Oh.
Yeah. So he should be a suspect in this.
Prime
suspect. Do you know how many balloons you would need to get away with on a front end loader with an ATM machine on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So check the skies. But $5,000, I think, was the amount of his fine.
Yeah. Speaking of cheese, that Domino's has come up with a new garment. They've partnered with a fashion designer to create a pizza onesie specifically designed to wear to stay clean while eating pizza. Danny, the fabric is made of a wipeable, stain-proof design and is equipped with large pockets to store dips and drinks. Now, Danny, would you be interested in something like this? I mean, this might be the garment you're looking for.
This is unbelievably forward-thinking. I love this.
Yes.
And not because I'm a slob, which I am, but because as a parent, I wear, for the most part, I wear only black because my kids wipe so much stuff on me that black is a great concealing color. So now I could just wear this not only when they're eating pizza, but throughout the day to keep my clothes clean.
You know, Tyson, in the future, everybody is already wearing onesie type jumpsuits. Is this the first step towards that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think as soon as you can design a jumpsuit like this, that's not only wipeable on the outside, but either wipeable also on the inside, or even better, somehow disperses your poo and makes it. This is my idea.
Right.
There's a mechanism connected to your beehole. You poo into it. It compresses it down like a little car smasher, but a poo-sized one.
Mm-hmm.
Boop, boop, into a little teeny cube. And then that is the only waste you have.
So could astronauts wear this in space?
They should. Can they?
They should. They should wear this under their suit. But eventually, I think this will also be space proof. I think that's where the future of the pizza suit lies.
I'm going to tell you right now that if you invite a date over and you put this on, when the pizza arrives, you put it, you're like, hold on, I got to get into something more comfortable. Yeah. And then you come out of the bathroom wearing this. I think it's going to go over really well.
It's going to go over well. Date. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know how when you eat pizza in regular clothes and then all of a sudden your belt starts pinching into your stomach a bit and it hurts?
Right.
You don't have that with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't like that it has pizza on it. As a, like, I feel like I like the,
well, that way, if you spill a slice of pizza
it's
on
a camouflage.
It, you're like, oh no, that's part of the design.
Yeah, it's a great spillage camouflage. It hides it.
So, what would you what would your design be, Rob, if you could design your own pizza suit?
I mean, why does it have to have pizza on it? Why can't it just
camouflage?
Yeah, camouflage be fine. I just feel like, you know, why do I need, like, does there need to be a picture of what I'm wearing on my clothes?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you happen to drop a pizza on your clothes, which this whole suit was designed for that exact purpose, then your date night and your date's not like, you have a whole slice of pizza stuck to your chest. She doesn't know.
Here's some interesting information. The, launch of the first ever wipeable onesie follows research. So there was research that led to this that revealed almost three quarters of Brits, meaning the British, change into their pajamas or comfy clothes the minute they step through the door. So that's one part of it. Now, it says that the fashion designer, so a fashion designer came up with this, Rob, who are you to question the design? Charlotte Dean came up with the first prototype onesie in 13 hours. I mean, it really took that long.
13 hours of deliberation.
I mean, Tyson probably could have come up with this in at least an hour.
Yeah. My issue with it is I think you look like a Domino's employee more so than someone who is going to be eating pizza.
On a date.
I don't know where the date comes from either.
Well, we came up with that part.
Does it have one of those flaps in the back for relieving yourself? You know, or
no, it's got one of those little car crusher things for poops.
In the future, maybe.
Well, if Charlotte didn't put one of those in it, then she's made a grave mistake. Yeah.
So this product is only available in the UK, and all the proceeds will be going to charity.
That's good. Has anybody bought one yet?
No. We need someone to buy one and tell us, you know, see how much pizza they can spill on it without being
uncomfortable.
You know, noticing how much pizza they've spilled on themselves.
Yeah, I'd like to know how comfortable it is. I mean, is it sort of like just like a plastic raincoat, or is it actually like some sort of a comfortable fabric?
Like a Gore-Tex that's breathable but also water resistant on the outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good to know. And could I get something like this for my phone? Could they make a phone case out of this, Danny, that I could just wipe down?
Oh, you mean like, so when you go in the bathroom, you put one of these on your phone.
With your claws.
Right.
Doot, doot, doot.
Yeah, with Tyson's plastic claws. And what kind of picture would you have on this cover?
A phone.
Your phone cover. You're going to have a picture of like excrement?
Phones. No.
Of his phones.
So, of your phones. Okay, yeah. Then you put it on with the claws, do your business, then you use the claws to take it off and use the claw to put it in your pocket and then burn the claws.
Yeah. And this has a giant pocket also for the phone.
Oh, thank goodness. Or a slice of pizza if you want to eat it after you wake up from your pizza nap.
Yeah, I guess your coma.
Crazy bread. All right.
Yeah. And then what they should do is have like a holder by the mouth that holds the crazy bread and the pizza. So then when you're using the toilet, you can still munch on pizza without feeling gross.
That's good.
No, there's no way to eat food on the toilet and not feel gross.
Well, feel less gross. Yes.
Is that possible?
No, it is possible to eat.
What about gum?
You can eat toilet food. It's fine.
No, you can't. You can't eat toilet food. You can't eat on the toilet.
I can and I will.
We live in a civilization, and one of the unspoken rules of this civilization is that we will not eat while we defecate. Is that should be in the Constitution.
That should be your first wish in the movie.
Yeah.
In the movie Shazam, is that there's a way that they can vacuum all the germ particles out so that they don't rise.
I understand
above your head
why you want to eat and go to the bathroom at the same time, because it makes you feel like you're a conveyor belt. You know, like it's all just working perfectly.
In and out.
You shouldn't do that.
I got it. So this is the plot of the Shazam movie. NASA astronaut is working on a spacesuit that's like, oh, I can't crack this problem. I wish there was a way that I could figure out how to make a spacesuit that you could go to the bathroom in. And then, hey, some other scientist comes in like, hey, look at this artifact that we found on this meteorite that we've got to find a way to clean this off. And then the guy starts cleaning off the meteorite that came in. Turns out, genie lamp, boom. Did somebody say wish?
No. Yeah. And he already has one of the suits on because he's a space genie. And they're like, well, we want a suit where you can make poops inside it and it's not a problem. And he's like, I have one of those on right now. That doesn't even count as a wish. You still got three. And so he shares this suit idea with him. And then after that, they're like, well, can we eat while also pooping in this suit? And he's like, of course you can. It's even socially not just accepted, but encouraged.
Yes. So I watch wonder, this. I'll be at the Cheesecake Factory wearing one of these pants. You can see for yourself.
I wonder if you gave a lamp to everybody in the world, how many of the pizza eating population would actually use one of their wishes for a onesie that protected them from pizza spillage?
I would prefer can I choose a monkey's paw instead of a genie's lamp?
Sure. Why? What happens to you when you use it?
It's the same. You get three wishes, but there's always repercussions with the wish. So you get to choose the wish, but it's like, I want $1 million. And then you end up like witnessing like a bunch of people die. And then it's like, here's $1 million. You're like, well, that wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on who the people dying are.
Right. Yeah. So the monkey's paw, stay away from monkey's paws, guys. I was just kidding.
Yeah.
If there's a choice between a lamp and a monkey's paw, go with the lamp.
Okay. Well, I think we've cracked the Shazam movie. When do we get the Kickstarter going?
I'll start that right now while we do the rest of the show. And then also, we also seem to have cracked the NASA thing, because all they have to do is put little crushers, little poo crushers outside of the butt, but inside of the suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we got, how much are they paying for that? $30,000?
Only $30,000.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet at him that we
could probably make more money
just
on the Shazam Kickstarter.
Okay, that's a good that's a good point.
All right, and then one final story, and this is coming out of the holiday season where so many toys were delivered, but there's a thing called a Hatchimal, no relation to Richard Hatch, but they were a very popular toy, but apparently the toys are saying something very inappropriate, which many parents are claiming they're saying the words F, the F word, me.
F the F word, me?
No. Just F word, me, to little kids. Apparently the Hatchimal comes in an egg, and then you take it out of the egg, and then it says F word, me.
Okay, so there is some controversy. The guy who recorded the video claims that that's what it says, but a lot of people who have watched the video say that they hear other.
Another black and blue dress?
Yeah, this is a little bit. So let me play. So this is actually very creepy stuffed animal with like eyes that are strobe light type eyes. This is a Hatchimal, and this is what it says.
I hear hold me.
Yeah, it definitely sounds suggestive, but I'm not getting the F word.
I'm hearing a horny Hatchimal asking to be held, but I don't hear the F word.
It definitely sounds like a horny bird, but it does not sound like it's saying.
Like, if you didn't give me any context and you played that audio, I would think you were watching a porno at work.
Right. Is that a scene from the Shazam porno movie?
From the genie porno movie?
That Sinbad was in the 90s?
Yes, this could be some audio from that movie.
Yeah, here's another person uploaded their video.
Hey, Mom. This is a long process. I can't go to sleep again. No.
Like, whatever it's supposed to be saying, this is a terrible kid's toy.
Yeah, and by the way, anyone who's hearing the word F me needs to come in for psychological evaluation.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing.
I think it says more about the parent who hears that than the animal, the toy itself, because I don't hear that at all.
Yeah. Whoever, you know, get your mind out of the gutter. This moaning bird in an egg.
It's a creepy toy, though.
It is.
And it was the hottest toy, one of the hottest toys of the Christmas season.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
It was, yeah.
Would you let Bergen play with this toy?
Probably, but I don't think she'd like it.
Why?
Because she has other toys that she likes.
Yeah.
These are too boring.
This is too boring. What, would she like it better if it actually did say the F word? That's not boring.
I
think that would be pretty funny. Yeah, smoked a cigarette and then dumped alcohol all over itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, do you have to find another Hatchimal to pair this with, Danny? Is that what it's looking for?
Yeah, maybe they want to mate. I mean, they got to make Hatchimals. So two adult Hatchimals are going to want to make a baby Hatchimal.
When a mommy and a daddy Hatchimal love each other very much.
They hug each other and they hug really heavily. At the same time.
The daddy tries to jump over the mommy.
That's what it says?
Yeah.
But can't quite do it.
That's the noise it makes. Yeah, I don't know. Do you throw out the egg? Do you peel it out of the egg and then you throw the shell in the garbage, Danny?
I don't know. I'm guessing you throw out the shell.
Yeah. So none of your kids have a Hatchimal?
No. None of them even wanted one.
So you can't repack the Hatchimal back into the egg and redo it again?
That would be like you keeping, the placenta and the sac that you come in. Okay. Nobody wants that. Just throw that away or turn it into a milkshake.
Okay. Oh. A Hatchimal shell milkshake.
Don't they have that on Goop, Tyson?
Yeah, Goop.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Goop has placenta in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but Goop definitely does do the Hatchimal egg shakes.
If any parents have a Hatchimal for their kids, maybe they could explain a little bit about how it works and what it's supposed to be saying. Because this is, whether or not it's saying the F word, it's still a deeply disturbing toy.
Yeah, any toy that stands over you while you sleep and breathes heavy, I mean...
That's what the Hatchimal does?
Yeah, we would have called it a stalker or a peeping Tom.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how you sleep with this thing in the house. I mean, did you see the video of like the close up on its eyes, Danny?
Yeah. Rob, what would you do if you woke up and the Hatchimal was standing over you going, help me? I mean, what would you do? You'd be terrified.
Yeah.
I don't see how this is a cute toy at all.
I don't know.
Whoever designed it, though, is... Yeah. And what did you do with your entire life? What's your life's legacy? I invented the Hatchimal.
Yeah. Danny, is it possible that the scientist that created the Hatchimal accidentally installed the Scarlett Johansson sex robot voice box into this thing?
Okay, here's the thing. The guy did put up the plans for his Scarlett bot for free. It's an open source code. So I bet you maybe they were cutting corners, didn't want to write the code, and just borrowed some of it from the... ScarJoBot.
Right. So if they can install the vocal processors of a Hatchimal into the Scarlett Johansson sex robot.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You could now, that's even a better idea. If anybody out there is building the ScarJoBot, just take the Hatchimal sound box, put that in the ScarJoBot, and you've just cranked up the horniness by 10.
We're on to something. 2017 is off to one hell of a start.
Oh my God, it's going to be a good year.
Okay, so then the second wish that the guy makes is that he has like this lifeless Scarlett Johansson sex robot that hasn't been talking to him for 20 years. He thinks that the robot is mad at him.
Yeah.
And so he wishes, I wish my Scarlett Johansson sex robot doll would talk to me. And so, okay, as you wish. And Tyson, because it's like the monkey's paw, that's like, okay, now it talks, but all it says...
It nags the crap out of you. Are you going outside with those clothes? Is that what you're wearing?
I wanted it to East sound Coast like the Hatchimal.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought with the monkey paw idea was that, the Hatchimal wouldn't be that bad. But
that's what he wanted. Yeah. And then that's how that was.
No, with the monkey paw idea, what would happen, Danny, in the monkey paw scenario, what would happen is you would say, can I have this lifeless ScarJo robot have the Hatchimal voice? And the monkey paw would be like, there's three. And it would be like, one wish down. You're like, oh, it worked. And you'd be like, ScarJo. And it would be like, me. And you're like, it worked. And then you find out you're impotent.
Oh, no.
That's how monkey paws work, bro.
I thought it was just going to complain about how much attention he paid to the kids.
Nope. That's how monkey paws work. The worst. It's the worst.
Well, then you have one wish left, right?
Then you only have one wish left. So now what's your monkey paw wish?
Right? I think, we got to see how the rest of the movie plays out.
Okay.
Don't give it away.
Yeah,
Tyson.
Your third wish, you ask for your erection back, but then you go blind, something like that, Tyson.
Yeah, you grow hair on your palms and go blind.
Wow.
And then the ScarJo robot isn't attracted to you anymore.
I am staying away from the monkey paw because it sounds awful.
Yeah, do not. It'll give you your wish, but at what cost?
At what cost?
Yeah. Not worth it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll figure out exactly That's the tagline for the Shazam movie.
Yeah, the monkey paw.
Your wish granted, but at what cost?
At what cost, yeah.
Yeah, there's never been a movie like that, ever.
Nope, this is a fresh idea.
Yeah, well, yeah.
2017.
If there was a movie created like that, there's no record of it. Sinbad has said on Twitter.
Yeah, okay. There's no record.
All right, so we have a lot of good ideas today. What's the hashtag for this episode of the podcast? Oh, actually, no, Danny, wait, but you're bolt hole. I almost forgot.
Yeah, I've got...
Bolt hole, bolt hole.
Okay, keep going, Tyson.
Bolt
hole, bolt hole.
Bolt hole,
bolt hole.
There we go.
Hot my bolt hole. Okay, guys, we've talked about this story, right? We talked, I think, last year, 2016. I know we all want to forget it, but last year we talked about the public credit score system in China.
Yes.
I think that was last year. Now, the government, Shanghai, Tyson and I have been there. I lived there for a while.
Yep.
They have rolled out their app called Honest Shanghai, and they did it during November during Honesty Week.
Yes. And this actually came out of talking about how that there was going to be an app where you're going to be able to leave Yelp style reviews on people here in the United States. And that's how we kind of started talking about what they already have in China.
And we had, what was that app called? Peoples or something like that was the fake app that someone was going to put out where you could rate people. Well, this uses a public credit score for good or bad, for very good or bad. Right.
Okay.
So it rates you on 3,000 different information items collected from nearly 100 government entities to determine your public credit score. The score allows you to get discounted airline tickets, but a bad score could lead you to not getting loans or getting seats on planes or trains. So I'm just wondering, what do you guys think? Good idea, bad idea? Honest Shanghai, is that an app you would sign up for if you lived in Shanghai?
Well, I think I have good credit, so I would. But if I had bad credit, no way.
The real question is whether or not this could be used to judge you as a citizen. Hmm. Like, do you think that we're going to see a Make America Great Again app that comes out and rates how great you're making America as an individual?
I think we're doing away with the apps. I think from what I understand, I think that we are moving away from computers. From what I understand, that I think that there's too many security flaws. I think that we're going back to a lot of pen and paper, Danny.
It's all pen and paper now.
Couriers who run notes back and forth.
This is how things are moving forward.
So, okay, how about a paper system run by couriers and horse delivery service?
Okay, well, now we're on to something.
Oh, that's a good idea, because you know that a lot of cars actually have computers in them too, and you wouldn't want that.
No, you'd have to be riding a horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I'm just saying this is an opportunity for, if you do go to China, you sign up for Honesty Shanghai, and you know you can get better airplane seats, but at what cost? You know, everybody, then the government knows everything about you, which, by the way, multiple corporations already know everything about you, right? I mean,
yes.
Google knows everything about Rob.
Yeah.
Because he's always signing up for all their stuff.
Yeah, Danny, I think that this is, you're on to something here that going back and listening to some of the highlights in the News AF that, I don't know if this was on the show or not, where you were talking about the plot for your latest science fiction movie, but even going back to the Galactic Salt Mines that you cooked up, which was in the Rob is a Podcast Best of 2016 special. So imagine an Earth where, you know, we have some countries that are like, you know, we're very worried about being hacked. So they get completely rid of computers. But then there's other countries that are in the world that they go all in on the computers. So you know, there's some parts of the Earth which are just sort of like in some sort of like Amish type culture, where they've sort of said, okay, we're just going to keep things like at some sort of like 1960s level of technology. But there are other parts of the Earth where they have like, you know, 21st, 22nd century technology, Danny.
Well, and I mean, think about this. If you live in this society with all the technology in this system as it grows, they're going to know how well you drive, what you say in your car, what sex with your robot sex slave is like. I mean, they're going to know all these intimate details, and they could use it against you at any moment to shame you, which, as we know, is Tyson's favorite form of punishment.
Public shaming.
Public shaming. Yeah. Right.
Will the Hatchimals also be recording the sexual experiences they have with their humans?
Well, then they're filming yours.
How do we know the Hatchimals aren't already recording things?
We don't know.
What?
Know. And everything that's being recorded is going into your score.
Right. Right.
So it just depends on how good you are at sex.
Yeah, like it could. You'll be sharing. The Hatchimal will be telling the government, like, Tyson can't get an erection. Think how embarrassing that is.
Oh my God! And then Donald Trump will never look at me the same.
All right. Well, Danny, anything else from the bolt hole?
I had a whole list of bolt hole items. Right, like I had a lot in the bolt hole.
Whoa, full blown bolt hole.
But this year started off so strong that every bolt hole item we've kind of ticked off the list.
Okay. Wow.
It was a great job.
All right. Everybody. What about that hashtag for today? The one thing I wrote down was collectively Cosby'd.
Okay.
That, which explains the Shazam phenomenon.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one you've got. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Collectively Cosby'd.
All right.
I do have a review.
Yes. Is it a 5-star review?
This one is, yes.
Okay, good. All right. Newsaf.news. That's our iTunes page where you can leave us reviews. The Monkey Paw also Ben King is suggesting, but that might be already a lot of people who are making wishes.
Yeah, they're already monkey pawing it, not realizing the severe repercussions of making a wish with a monkey paw.
We should encourage any kind of research into monkey paw because that could lead someone down a dark path.
Very dark path. Okay, here we go. This is important. 5 stars by NY Counterpoint, January 2nd, 2017. Dear Rob, Tyson, and the great eye in the sky, Danny. I have used the wisdom from this bromance to create a time travel machine. I am in the future searching for your reanimated selves, battling my way through the perils of the galactic salt mines. Orcs are not cool in the future. I will keep you updated. Love, succinct Stefan.
That raises a good question, guys. How do we immortalize ourselves? Do we upload ourselves to Google? Do we upload ourselves together as a team?
Well, it sounds like that we're going to either one of two things are going to happen. Either we are going to the computers and the robots are taking over, and then ultimately they're going to phase us out. Or we're going to phase out all of the machines and go to some sort of like 1960s forever type society. And so what we need to do is probably just like write transcripts up of this show and then photocopy hundreds of thousands of copies of them.
Yes. And they get monks to transcribe them throughout time.
Put them on a bunch of microfilms and scatter those in safe havens across the globe.
What I'm wondering is if we shouldn't upload our consciousnesses together so that the podcast can continue on, so people in the future who do look for us, especially time travelers, won't have a hard time finding us.
Right. So that then once that our consciousness gets uploaded to a computer, then every Tuesday for eternity, until as long as like the bots keep the computers running, then
and there's news to be reported.
Right, our brains can just continue to continue about the actual factual news for thousands of years
until the sun swallows the earth, which will be the greatest news story of all time.
Yeah,
yeah, but will we be there to report it?
Yep. That's a good idea, and he gave us this idea, so kudos to him.
Thank you, Stefan. Also, I think we should just start geocaching a bunch of our stuff.
Just hypothetically, you don't think that's already happened, right? Is this are we just going through this? And it's not like that in the
but we're already in the distant future, and they're looking back on us. Like, we can't do anything now that will change the future because the future's already happened.
Maybe here's another idea. Maybe we should hijack one of those lasers that's sending information out into space, and then just have them constantly sending out news AF so that our message is traveling through space and time and eventually will be picked up by a more advanced civilization and implemented.
And if they could give us the answer to what happened to the Sinbad Genie movie.
Yeah. How to poop in suits.
Yes. Well, they've already
figured
that out.
They have answers to all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've already figured out where the Sinbad Genie movie is. They've already figured out how to go to the bathroom in a spacesuit.
They know everything. Because
they can go through wormholes into alternate realities. They've seen the movie.
Yeah. So time is linear. I don't know if you know about how this works, Rob.
I thought it was
sometimes
a flat circle.
Folds. Well, either way, sometimes it folds on itself and you can transcend time and space to a different dimension.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rob doesn't know how to sign off.
Mind blowing. I know how to sign off. I know how to sign off with some smooth jazz.
that was great. Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Great job on the News AF. Well, what a way to start the year here on News AF. Subscribe to the podcast, newsaf.news. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for editing the podcast version of this, and News AF intern Lita for compiling all the stories we talk about. Once again, you can follow Danny on Twitter. This is going to be the year of Danny on Twitter. He's at Danny Bryson, at Tyson Apostle. Anything else, guys?
Yes. I'd like to apologize to Scott St. Pierre for making fun of his favorite TV show, Big Bang Theory, last week.
He let me know
personally on Twitter that he was displeased and that he really, really loves Big Bang Theory, and he really, really loves that band that we also made a joke about.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that was a heartfelt apology, Tyson.
Yeah.
What is that band's name again?
Nickelback. Yes.
So I'm sorry, Scott, about Nickelback and Big Bang Theory. I will try to explore their artistic values more in depth before I speak next time. Okay.
Okay. All right. We're off to on the right foot here in 2017. All right. Have a good, everybody.
Clean slate, Scott.
All right. Bye.